she whispered, returning to her room and waiting for the door to shut behind her. She leaned against it and closed her eyes, trying to wipe the view of his blue ass from her mind. This whole seeing asses when she didn't want to thing was going to have to stop. Hushed arguing sounded from the other side of the door, but soon it moved off, growing quieter as they disappeared down the hallway. Samantha just wanted to kill bad guys. Why did all this other craziness have to get in the way? Sitting here thinking about it certainly wasn't doing her any good. She figured the best step now would be to get in some last-minute training and stretches before landing and entering the shit. A quick glance showed that the hallways were clear. She hustled over to the training room and was glad to see Dex there. Dex saluted her with sword held vertical at chest level, then bowed and continued training. As she so loved to do, she joined in, losing herself in the motions. This was where she belonged. This was what felt right.
All hands, strap in.
Hadrian's voice sounded throughout the ship, and Samantha realized she had been at it for over a half hour. She nodded with a smile to Dex, then made for the ship's bridge. Joining the others to strap in, she was keenly aware of Olivet's glare, and further being sure to look the other way. Not that it mattered. Once they were surrounded by enemies, all of that pettiness would be out of mind. She hoped. If the butthole of the universe is in there, Karma said, as the ship started to rattle with the atmosphere, passing through the masses of shifting darkness. Does that mean we're about to land on the butt? Agatha laughed at that. Pretty much, and I gotta warn you, this son of a bitch has some major gas problems. The team chuckled gamely, but all eyes stayed glued to the planet as they emerged from the darkness and saw the craters and tunnels moving up fast. A rush of emotions flowed through Samantha, mostly excitement at finally getting to touch down and move in on their prey. Darkness flowed out like fog blowing in the wind, and a screeching sounded as they landed. Then more screeches from throughout the planet. They know we're here, Agatha said, face going pale and the stones on her forehead glowing. Good, Samantha replied. Maybe they'll line up so I can just shoot once and kill them all. This earned her a couple of chuckles, but a moment later the doors were open and Hadrian was shouting, Go, go, go! Then they were on the move, weapons at the ready, helmets up, HUD displays showing heavy activity in all directions.
Get into the tunnels so they can't surround us!
Vuara shouted. Dex nodded agreement.
Stay safe,
Hadrian said from his position by the door. He paused, sharing a few words with someone of sight.
No worries, I'll take the controls.
A moment later, Jackal came bounding out, his green and black armor glimmering in the light of the ship.
You're coming with us?
Samantha asked, glad for the added company. Jackal held up two blaster pistols, and for a moment his visor became clear to show a wide grin.
You think you're going into a fight without the only Ozzy on board? I thought you were smarter than that.
The visor became opaque metal again, and Samantha laughed.
You'll have to show me how to do that sometime.
It's great for blowing kisses or showing your enemy your war face. The visor's connected to your mind, so you just gotta will it.
No shit.
She stuck her tongue out and willed the visor to clear, and he laughed.
That'll scare him, sure enough.
Screw you, she said, and then waved her arm while using her rifle to point to the holes.
Let's get the hell out of Dodge!
The others charged from the ship, Agatha and Vuara leading the way. As they went, dark forms flew out of various holes, appearing as shifting shadows, flowing darkness. And when she could catch a glimpse, beings that resembled death itself, just like Dex. Screeches filled the air, growing louder, They were joined by the sound of engines as Hadrian's ship pulled up while unleashing hell on the attackers. Lasers blew new craters in the ground, and explosions went off in the distance as the ship worked to create a barrier between the team and any other approaching Dexilitiatite. And then the locals brought the noise, sword and claws flashing, trying to tear apart their armor and expose them to the planet's uninhabitable atmosphere. Luckily for Samantha and the others, their armor was damn tough. And they had Dex. Dex was sweeping through the darkness as fast as the enemy, parrying strikes and tearing through them. Whatever the others were, Dex had clearly been one of the best. It must have been a huge kick in the ass when Dex had abandoned them. But it was even worse now that the being's wrath was unleashed upon them. Agatha, Vuara, Ferder, and Olive didn't have the same type of armor as the rest. They stayed to the inside of the group as much as possible, taking shots when there were openings and keeping their backs together as they moved.
Down!
Vuara shouted, and they were all careening through an opening, falling and tumbling. Samantha used her grip and rushed for the wall, running along it to get out of the way. She turned to see three of the enemy following and unleashed hell on them, until her grip wore off and she slid back down to join the others. They found themselves in a wide opening that more tunnels led into. Backs together, they all aimed into a tunnel and unloaded on incoming enemies, while Agatha and Vuara caught their bearings.
There!
Vuara shouted. But a minute later, Dex was in her way, holding out a hand in a different direction.
Move! Now!
The thing's right,
Agatha said, nodding another way.
Come on.
Vuara took a moment, realized her mistake, and then followed. On and on they fought, moving through various tunnels, never slowing, and yet the enemy never seemed to let up. It was going to be a long night. The minute Hadrian saw the others disappear down one of the tunnels, he shot a couple of warheads at the surrounding areas and pushed his ship up and out of range as the explosions went off. It was a glorious sight, watching the creatures go up in balls of flame that quickly died out and left nothing in their wake. His plan was possibly as dangerous as the team's, and he meant to hurry and get to it. Putting the first mate in command of the ship, he made his way down the halls, stopping when he reached the hexagon, his most powerful jumper.
I hope this works,
he thought, as he closed his helmet over his face. With a swipe of his hand, a map of the universe appeared before him. He maneuvered through the stars and planets, various galaxies, until he came to the one he had in mind. The one planet in enemy territory that still had a jump point he could access. The fact that it was still untouched meant it was probably a trap, and that was partially what he was counting on. He would distract Karstrak, pulling his attention to this spot so that he wouldn't see the others coming. Hadrian selected the planet within the jumper, then closed his eyes as the bright light flooded the room. Suddenly he was gone from the ship, landing in a kneeling position. Then, almost instantly, he was swept off his feet, only avoiding being thrown into space by reaching down with his energy manipulation and latching himself to the ground. Grabbing hold of the ground, he realized it was shifting, large metallic scales moving beneath him. This was no planet. Somehow, Karstrak had managed to move a jump point to the back of one of the giant space dragons. In spite of the danger Hadrian was now in, his plan was working. Scurries were moving about, black spider-like creatures with mandibles strong enough to tear through metal. A light shone, and a moment later out stepped the little boy they had met on the other planet, the one Samantha had come to know as Rallod. He smiled at the sight of Hadrian, like two friends were being united after a long time. He even had the gall to say, Welcome, brother. Two forms appeared behind Rallod as he morphed into the form Hadrian remembered, Karstrak. He was lean, with long, wavy black hair tucked behind his ears. His olive skin was complemented by nearly neon green eyes, and his smile would make you forget your worries. Unless, of course, he was the source of your worries, as was the current situation. Over his massive frame, he wore armor of pure black. His two companions wore all black too, but Hadrian knew that if they turned, he would see a large red mark on their backs. Redbacks, they were called, and they were the personal guard to the great deceivers themselves, the ultimate enemy.
You've gone too far, Karstrak.
Hadrian gripped the scales, realigning his energy focus to keep his center of gravity on the dragon, and stood. The redbacks were the first to move, charging forward on the back of the dragon. Hadrian realized they must have been latched to it with power from Karstrak. Would it hold if he countered it? He thrust his hands, energy surging forward, and then pulled up. A giant whip of energy grabbed the closest redback and tossed him out into space. A shriek escaped the redback as it floated off. The second redback had flung itself to the ground and begun firing. Hadrian lifted his arm to produce a force field shield of blue and red flowing energy. He had maxed out the shield long ago, and then embedded a bit of his own powers into it. But that didn't stop it from faltering at a strike from Karstrak. The man had apparently used the redback as a distraction only, because now he was there, throwing blow after blow at his old friend.
You never deserved her!
He shouted, a sword of red light emerging from his fist as he unleashed an attack that pierced Hadrian's shield, tearing into his forearm. Armor instantly replaced itself, sealing the hole, but the wound and resetting of the shield would both take time.
How did you never say anything before?
Hadrian countered, pushing back and striking while drawing his sword and deflecting several blows from the redback.
You introduced us!
A kick sent Karstrak tumbling back, but he grabbed hold of the dragon and relatched himself. His face illuminated, the helmet letting Hadrian see his old friend. But instead of hatred and evil on his face, there was confusion, sorrow.
Not Neraldian, you old fool!
He stood, shaking his head.
Samantha!
What? Hadrian frowned, unsure what to make of this. In that moment, Karstrak flung a shot of energy forward, but it didn't hit Hadrian at all, and wasn't even aimed at him. Instead, the surge grabbed the redback and flung it at Hadrian. Unsure what was happening, the redback accepted its fate and initiated the sequence that gave its kind their name. It curled into a ball so that it was flying end over end, the red spot on its back pulsating with light. A light that would soon explode and take everything nearby with the equivalent of an 800 megaton antimatter warhead. Hadrian knew this from experience, as the redback suicide missions had been a large reason for the enemy's success overthrowing his planet. Perhaps the dragon would survive, and maybe Karstrak had prepared for this and had a plan, but there was no way Hadrian's armor could withstand the blast. With a silent curse, Hadrian leaped back through his jump point. He landed on the hexagon in his ship, falling to his side with a thud. A wave of heat passed over him, a remnant from the explosion, before the gate closed. For a long moment he lay there, furious at his failure to do more damage. But taking out Karstrak hadn't been the real goal. He had known going into a jump to fight him would be playing on his turf. He had distracted his old friend long enough, and now it was up to Samantha and her team. But there was a new piece of the puzzle. Karstrak was after Samantha, and Hadrian needed to understand why. He had done his job. Now it was time to follow the others and see if he could be of any further assistance. Chapter 22 Zeus's Mouth. As the Shadow Corps emerged from yet another tunnel to find more enemy in their way, Dex made a fierce sound like a wall crumbling. Agatha was nearby, pointing and shouting, "There!" Samantha darted forward, approaching the edge of what she now saw was a cliff. Sure enough, below them the ground led into a massive underground crater, swirling inward to a point where it was clear why this place was called the universe's butthole, or Zeus's mouth. A new level of shrieking sounded behind them, and Samantha turned to see a being twice the size of Dex dart forward and catch Dex by surprise. The two struggled, then pushed off and came at each other with swords clashing. The newcomer's sword wasn't solid, but seemed to be made of darkness itself. Each clash sent off a puff of smoke, and when the blade of darkness touched Dex's robes, light burst forth that caused Dex to scream in pain. Samantha was there a moment later, driving her sword into the being's side, but it tossed her away. All around them, the team was taking on new incoming forms of floating darkness. Napalm was alternating between shooting and causing explosions farther back in some of the tunnels, but it was clearly draining him. He stumbled to Samantha's side at one point, and she had to slice through an enemy before helping him to stand and leaning him against a wall. "Close all tunnels but one!" she shouted to the others, then pointed to their far left. "Leave that one!" The others agreed and got to work creating walls of bodies in the other tunnels. Samantha and Napalm sent explosions when there was an opening and they had the energy. Rocks fell around them, and it was clear the whole place could fall if they didn't end this soon. The guides were more brawlers than warriors, and did their best to hold off any that made it through the first line of defense. Furter and Olive were faster than Samantha had realized, almost matching the Dexalicietite in speed. They leaped up to the walls and grabbed hold, moving quickly and shooting down into the attackers. More attacks came, wisps of shadow swooping in and about Samantha. She was fast, and her shield would light up with electricity and shoot her attackers back when she successfully blocked the strike. But her armor was quickly becoming quite notched, and the HUD screen showed that its integrity was falling fast. "Stop her!" Agatha shouted. Samantha spun to see Olive leaping from her defensive spot, moving along the wall away from the fight and toward the gate. She held a small metallic object that was blinking red. A bomb.
"Olive, no!"
Furter muttered with surprise. But then a Dexalicietite connected with him, knocking him from the wall and putting its sword through his forearm. Furter's shout of pain filled the cavern, but Samantha was focused on Olive. The woman hadn't been glaring at her before out of jealousy, as Samantha had guessed, but with some other hatred. She was working for the enemy, here to blow up the gate so that they couldn't use it to access the other side. There was no time to wonder why. That could come after. At the moment, she just needed to be stopped. Samantha considered her options in the split second she had. Taking a deep breath, she ran and leaped, not even bothering with her grip. This was all about trajectory and momentum. In a flash, Samantha was on Olive, grabbing hold and pulling her with her. The two fell toward the decline, landing next to the gate.
"You're too late! I've..."
Olive started, but Samantha wasn't about to let her stall. One well-placed sweep of the legs, and then a jumping push kick sent Olive straight into the gateway, bomb and all. A moment passed, and Samantha stood there, head pounding and catching her breath. Then a sudden clash of swords brought her back to the moment. Her friends needed her. She ran back to the edge and pulled herself up, just in time to send a shot at a Dexalicietite that had its sword raised to slice through Napalm's neck. Maybe the armor would have deflected the blade, maybe not. Either way, a nod of thanks later, Napalm was alive and moving on to the next attacker. A rustling of cloaks sounded as many of the Dexalicietites shifted out of the way. Clearly, something bad was coming. With a howl, it appeared. The biggest, baddest Dexalicietite yet. It was at least twice the size of the others, with a massive sword. The sword's handle split off into spikes, each decorated with red jewels, and red glowing patterns covered its robe as well. It cut through, pushing past Quan and plowed its blade into Vuara, but it seemed completely fixated on Dex as it charged ahead. To Dex's credit, the being held its own. The two were spinning around each other, blurs of darkness, swords clanging. At one moment, the large one had Dex against a wall, then the two were moving again. They flew toward each other, and, with a mighty clash, their swords connected in a shower of sparks. Like a small explosion, their swords went flying in opposite directions, skittering across the ground. That didn't stop the assault. The large one slammed into Dex and lifted their teammate into the air, flying high over their heads. Samantha froze in shock at the sight of the large being drilling Dex into the ceiling of the cavern. The black robes were acting like a jet's flames, allowing it to slam Dex's head into the rocks like a jackhammer. Its other hand moved back, sword materializing. If she didn't act fast, it was over. None of the others could reach them, and any explosions from Napalm would hit them both. She'd done some amazing upgrading to her grip recently, and she eyed the wall that led to the ceiling. Karma must have guessed her intent, because a moment later she was beside Samantha, her gloves retracting.
"You'll need a boost of power," Karma said, reaching out. "Don't tell the others."
In a quick motion, she retracted Samantha's helmet and placed her hands on Samantha's cheeks. A surge of energy and power flowed through Samantha's body, and she felt stronger and surer than she ever had. Triggering her helmet back on, Samantha turned to take on her opponent. Planning her best route, she fired a shot at an oncoming enemy, then ran to the wall and jumped. The run was straight up and then almost upside down, but she was doing it. Holy shit, she thought. She was doing it. Her grip started to fade as she reached the horizontal part, and she leaped. Jumping while upside down was a strange feeling, but she managed to pull her sword up and drive it directly into the overly large Dexalicietite. The being tore from her teammate and plunged with her sword to the spiraling earth below, the sliding decline that led to the gateway, Zeus's mouth. They came to a halt 3 paces from the gateway, and she didn't hesitate. In an instant, she was up and had her sword back, then brought it down with a roar. Armor cracked, but the next strike brought with it an explosion of electricity, making her glad she had chosen that skill tree. The third strike hit with a sickening crunch, and the Dexalicietite's head rolled out of the hood and disappeared into the gateway. A moment later, Dex was at her side and she was motioning to the others. "Come on! Now!" But more of the enemy was streaming in, and she saw they would be overwhelmed even before Napalm said it. With a blast of his guns, he turned and said,
"We'll hold them off, then follow when we can. Go on, finish this!"
Dex turned to her and nodded, and as much as she hated it, she knew Napalm was right. They started to run, but Dex turned back, removed the robes from the large Dexalicietite she had killed, and then followed closely behind her. When Dex caught up, they leaped into the gateway. In a flash of light, they had left the battle behind. Her eyes adjusted to show they were in a brightly lit room. She turned to see Dex at her side, and then stood. That was a mistake. Dex pulled her down as darts flew past, stabbing into the far wall. A glance around showed motion sensors and more traps. Of course, Karstrak would have set up the place. He knew how to come through this jump point, so it was possible someone else would too. And if he was able to, that meant there was a way of making it out alive. Hesitantly, Dex held out something. The cloak from the one she had killed.
"What's this?"
she asked.
"I know I didn't kill more than you."
Dex hesitated, then pulled back its hood. "Yes, but you saved my life. You killed it, so have earned the robes. When you put it on, you will be able to communicate with me and move as I do. There's more, but that should be enough for now." Samantha knew what it meant for Dex to reveal itself, so she bowed her head.
"Thank you."
"Stay low while I perform the binding." Dex reached out and wrapped the hood around her head, tearing a layer away and fastening it to her waist. It wasn't as they wore theirs, but Dex hadn't completely stripped the corpse, so maybe her power would be partial? She tried not to think about any blood from the previous occupant, and figured she could clean her armor later. Now that the robes were attached, Dex ran large, dark fingers along the seams, muttering something. It was like the being was speaking with the robes. They were responding, moving at Dex's command. For a moment, they went rigid, as if fighting. Then they relaxed, pulling into Samantha's armor, and she felt a warmth from where they connected. "They are part of you now," Dex said. "Keep the hood up during combat, or any time you wish to speak with me, and don't wish others to overhear."
"Part of me?"
she asked, voice shaking. "As the armor is biotech-based, so are these robes, but much more so. They need a host to survive, so if you die, they die. Therefore, they have a vested interest in keeping you alive."
"So, like, they are feeding on me?"
Intrigued and a little grossed out, she stood to look at her robe, forgetting about the traps. A click sounded, and she flinched backwards, knowing it was too late. In a flurry, the robes moved like a wave of shadow, catching the darts and casting them aside.
"It's not as bad as all that," Dex replied, and she noticed a smile before the hood came up, creating darkness again.
She had to admit, what had just happened was cool.
"Follow me,"
Dex's voice said in her head, though not in her ears.
"Holy shit, this is awesome!"
She shot back with her thoughts, wondering if Dex would hear it.
"Don't swear in my head,"
Dex replied. She could sense the smile even in their mental communication.
"Count of three."
"Three!"
she replied, and willed herself out of there. In a flash, the cloth tied around her waist had encircled her, and she was moving like a wisp of shadow, darting up and down. Spikes and fire traps exploded as she whizzed by, bouncing off of them, and she was aware of Dex shooting straight out of the room. Finally, she gained control of her flight and followed, leaving behind the flaming room and destroyed traps. She landed outside next to Dex, and the robe released her.
"It's always like that?"
she asked.
"Until you learn to control it. By the way, nice work on setting off all those traps so that the others would be safe if they make it through. Smart thinking."
Oh, yeah, right.
They took a moment to assess their new surroundings, and what they saw put their nerves on edge. They spotted Olive's body nearby, torn to pieces from traps in the room. A large crater was in the ground not far off, likely where she had tossed the bomb as she tried to get it away from herself.
"Well,
That answers that, Samantha said, turning at a gasp from Dex. Samantha glanced up to see where Dex was looking and whistled. The sky was dark, with blue and green wavy lights floating over ruins in the distance. Walls and buildings crumbling. She saw destroyed spaceships, all in pieces, torn apart. And then, the bodies. It was a graveyard. Through the darkness, they could just make out a river of red, with steam rising from it. Strange lights glowed from groups of rocks, and an eerie-looking house or fortress stood nearby. The pure black building and surrounding rocks shot up at an angle, reminding Samantha of sharp crystals, and she imagined a madman playing with magic to forge this place. As they drew closer, it became clear that the fortress was made from bits of the ruined spaceships. She had no doubt that was where they would find their target. They paused, glancing back at the gate to see if any of the others would make it through. After a few heartbeats, Dex put a hand on her shoulder and nodded. "You're right," she agreed. "If they're fighting, let's get this over with as fast as possible so we can get back and help." She turned to go, then heard Napalm's voice shouting, "You don't get to have all the fun!" Spinning to look back, she saw Napalm, Karma, and Quan running out of the gate. "The others are holding them off," Napalm said. "We closed down all tunnels but one, so that they'd have an easier time of it."
"Good thing they came with," Karma noted, giving a nod to Samantha for making the right call on that.
"That our target?"
Quan asked, glaring at the strange fortress. Samantha nodded, drew her sword again, and started walking.
"Yep, stay close."
As they followed her, Napalm asked,
"So, this your new look?"
She smiled.
"You like?"
"You bet your ass I do."
"Save Dex's ass, then. Who knows if Dex might have more of these hiding somewhere?"
"I don't."
Dex's voice came through her mind. She turned to him and smiled, then said,
"Come on, last one there is to clean all the armor when we get back."
"She's joking, right?"
she heard Quan ask as they ran. She hadn't made up her mind yet if she was, but within a matter of minutes she was in, the others close behind. They moved from room to room in the strange fortress, calling, "Clear!" when they didn't find any sign of an enemy. They were about to give up when Samantha pulled to a stop in a large room toward the rear. The walls were harsh obsidian, the ceiling tall and dark. And in the center of this room was something all of them had come to know and appreciate lately. It was a silver hexagon, similar to the jump points found on Hadrian's ship, the ones they had originally thought were simulations.
"He's out there, somewhere."
Samantha turned to the others.
"Is there any way to track him? I mean, if we jump while he has jumped, will it take us to the same place?"
The others shared uncertain looks, torn about what to do next.
"It could be a trap,"
Quan stated, looking skeptical.
"And yet, what choice do we have?"
Samantha looked around at her teammates, debating.
"We came here to hunt him down, to stop him from making gates available to the enemy. If we don't take him out now, who will? And if he goes on, we all know what that means for the fate of our worlds. We have to try, immediately."
The others nodded.
"Then let's not waste any more time."
With that, she took a step toward the jump point, the hexagon lighting up as she moved into it. A flash of light filled the room, and then faded as her foot landed. She stumbled, realizing she was standing on top of someone else's foot. When she recovered, she stood to see that she was face to face with a tall man in black armor. She had no doubt this was their target. They had found Karstrak.
Chapter 23 Olympus Prime.
I'm so glad it's you,
Karstrak said, the faceplate of his helmet clearing to show a man who didn't look much older than her, maybe in his early 20s. For a moment, the face changed to Rallod, his young face in a friendly smile, then to a new face, one older with salt and pepper hair, very similar to the face Hadrian sometimes wore.
You found me, but you're not going to kill me.
She stepped back, taking up a defensive stance. She heard movement and clicking of weapons as the others did the same behind her.
Kill you?
He laughed, almost a sad laugh.
Why, Sam, why in the universe would I want to do that? You're the one who can make all the difference. When Father hears you've been found, he'll be overjoyed.
She blinked, confused, and held a hand back to her team to tell them to hold off on attacking.
What do you mean, Father? Who is your father?
Sam.
He smiled, taking a hesitant step toward her.
I'm talking about your father. He's waiting for you. All these years he's been waiting for you. I was sent to find you. They kept me away. Hadrian, particularly. He wouldn't even let me find you to let you know. But it's true.
Samantha opened her mouth to speak, but found she had nothing to say. Her dad was a Marine, a one-night stand with her mother. Or was he? These aliens could take on various forms, and based on Hadrian's visits to Earth, had been traveling to Earth for some time. Who's to say one of them didn't look like a Marine and lust after her mom? The thought made her sick, and the idea of her mom not knowing the truth made her pissed. There couldn't be a chance she did know, could there? She had been fairly eager to fight the aliens, and she had left to join the Marines when Samantha was still young. Maybe she didn't want to be around her daughter? Maybe she couldn't handle the fact that her daughter was half alien? Or maybe this guy was full of shit.
He wanted to stay, to be there for you,
Karstrak went on.
But he couldn't. Not when they were out here trying to destroy everything he held so dear.
I don't believe you.
Even she knew her voice had betrayed the fact that she was lying.
The fight. Hadrian. They're on the right side here. The Alliance is defending Earth.
Defending Earth from what?
Karstrak asked.
Do you have any idea what the Alliance is up against? The Ancient Ones have ruled as gods for an eternity. They've cast out evil rulerships over and over, and likewise mean to liberate Earth. You think your corrupt governments, allowing poor to stay poor while hungry people starve, is what's best for you? Wars?
He laughed, then shook his head.
It's pitiful, honestly. Then there's the Syndicate. How many of your kind has had to die so that they might teach you a lesson?
What?
She held her free hand to her temple, wishing she could massage it through her helmet.
No. No one's arguing that the Syndicate isn't bad, but you're invading our home.
So Hadrian says. Liberating, says I. Freeing. We'll allow you to continue on. We'll even let you have rulers. People of your own choosing to keep the world running, but under our guidance.
It doesn't sound so bad,
she admitted. At least compared to the situation under the Syndicate.
It sounds like the Persians in ancient Greece,
Quan said from behind.
Don't listen to this bullshit, Sam.
He speaks in partial truths,
Dex's voice said through the cloak.
They are the great deceivers, after all.
Says the one who betrayed a whole race!
Karstrak shouted at Dex,
apparently able to hear their private conversation. Quan growled and aimed, pulled the trigger, and bam! The gun exploded in his hands, sending him flying backward. Samantha ran back to Quan, cradling him. Stop! She commanded Karstrak. If you're so not evil, so magnanimous, you will not attack my people! Karstrak sighed.
Sam, I'm here for you, not them. I have nothing to prove. As these minions of yours stand in my way, I am given no choice but to remove them.
Not minions,
Samantha said, standing, fingers twitching as she prepared to reach for her sword.
Teammates and friends, and I don't care what slimy sweetness exudes from your mouth, I ain't buying it. I know who my friends are.
With that, she pulled her sword free and ran at him, moving with quick bursts. She flew with the shadows as the cloak took her, and she didn't even see the strike that sent a shock of electricity through his armor. As he convulsed and fell to one knee, Karstrak lifted a hand. A blast of energy wrapped around her, flinging her into the sky so that she hung there, upside down with her arms at her side.
Observe, he said, as he struggled to stand. As I destroy all you hold dear.
Chaos erupted as he threw energy about, striking at Samantha's friends and shooting blasters from otherwise unarmed hands. It was unlike anything she had seen Hadrian do, and she understood that, at least in some ways, the two were different. Even as she struggled to break free, she watched his armor mold around him, changing into new weapons as he adapted to the defense against this particular set of enemies. Samantha struggled, trying to pull on her energy to release his grip, but nothing worked. Not even her new robes were enough. It was hopeless. Suddenly, a bright flash erupted, and an explosion tore through the room of traps they had come through earlier. In its wake stood Hadrian, with Agatha, Vuara, and Furter, all in various states of injury, but standing and ready to fight nonetheless.
It's time for you to answer for your crimes,
Hadrian said. He unleashed a flurry of shots from a large laser cannon at his side, then ran forward and thrust a hand toward Samantha, a motion that set her free. Her gravity-enforced boots pulled her down, the cloak softening her fall and letting her immediately spring into action. But Karstrak was fast too. Seeing he was now outmatched, he turned, gave her a smile, and stepped into the hexagon. A bright flash of light took him, but not before Samantha swept in, cloak shooting out behind her. The others grabbed hold, Hadrian shouting something about moving in before the jump gate closed, and then, in a flash, they all stood with Karstrak at the base of giant mountains. Shadows moved, and when Samantha looked up, she saw a massive space dragon closing in. It was only then that she realized where they were. Pink and red flowers covering the mountains, rivers flowing and creating fantastic waterfalls, a city in the distance, glowing a rosy gold. Furter said it first as he recognized his home. Antonophos Prime.
That's correct.
Karstrak turned to them and smiled.
And I have you to thank for it, Hadrian. The other two are still on the move, and one might soon reach Earth. But this is my mission, and because of your jumps and leaving your back doors open, I've moved right in. You've brought about an end to the Elders.
He smiled evilly, then latched himself to the dragon. They shot into the air until he was just a speck on the dragon's back. And then he was gone. Hadrian's helmet folded back, and he stared in disbelief and horror. Samantha knew they were in for a serious battle.
We're not letting him win, she said, then shouted, Let's go slay ourselves a dragon and the dickhead riding it!
The others paused, doubt crossing their faces. Most of them were injured. All of them were worn out. But that had never stopped Samantha before. So again, she said, "We're not letting him win! Now pull yourselves together and follow me!" She didn't even wait to see how they reacted, but simply started running toward the city. A loud, "Oorah!" from behind was proof enough that the team was with her, and that they were going to fight side by side to slay that beast, or die trying. Chapter 24 Entano Fos Prime. The charge toward the city took longer than they would have hoped, as they watched the dragon wreak its havoc. Fighter ships emerged from the hills around the city, striking at the dragon with laser blasts. But then the scurries emerged from the dragon and began tearing the fighter ships to pieces, while the massive horns of the space dragon glowed, preparing to take out the city and the elders within.
"Sam," Hadrian called, "we're going to need everything you've got. Me and you. Are you ready?"
He motioned up to the dragon and she shook her head, confused. How would they reach it? And once they were up there, did they really stand a chance?
"You promised me one dragon slaying," Hadrian shouted. "Now keep your word."
She clenched her teeth and nodded. If she possibly had it in her, she'd find out this day. At the look in her eyes, Hadrian turned back to the others.
"Get into the city. Save those you can. Get them to safety. Napalm, when you're in range, start blowing those scurries into smithereens." "And you?"
Napalm asked.
"It's time to fly,"
Hadrian replied, and then nodded to Samantha. It was time. As he started lifting off the ground, she willed herself up, hoping she could recall what she had only once before managed to do. Nothing came. That day had been one when her mom's life was at risk. The worry for her mom had given her the power. Well, was this day any different? As far as she knew, if these elders fell, so did the entire defensive perimeter. The entire alliance would be without a head, and the enemy would win. She tried again, and nothing.
"Ah!"
she shouted, willing herself up, even as Hadrian was shooting off toward the dragon. Then it hit her, the reason for her delay. Doubt. Karstrak had put in her a seed of doubt, and now she wasn't sure who the bad guys really were. If she fought them, she risked losing the only chance at finding her father. And yet, she told herself, that really didn't matter. Her team was here, her friends. Hadrian might have his secrets, but she trusted him. She trusted him with all her heart, and would die 1,000 times over for any one of these teammates. Pushing aside all doubt, she felt the thrill of the fight surge through her muscles, passion for justice and freedom and all that was good take over. And then she was flying through the air, propelled up toward Hadrian and soaring right past him. She felt her robe fluttering behind her, pushing her forward even faster. And then she was on the dragon, Hadrian landing a moment later at her side. The surrounding scurries gave up their fight against the fighter ships and surged on the two of them.
"Ready to take your training to the next level?"
Hadrian asked. She scoffed, pulling out her rifle in one hand, her sword in the other. "I think it's a bit past training time."
"Always learning, always growing,"
he said.
"Consider this your final exams for grade one."
"Finals?" She laughed. "Well, tell them I've been known to cheat."
"In this test, anything goes."
"Great." She turned to the closest scurry and unleashed a barrage of bullets that tore through its legs. It came sliding across the dragon's back, right onto the tip of her sword.
"Keep it up, and I'll see that you get extra credit,"
Hadrian said, then leaped into the air, and blasted three more scurries out of the sky with a sweeping arc of laser shots. He landed with a latching of his energy to the dragon, then pointed at the dragon's head, where Karstrak had just turned to see them.
"He needs to be stopped."
"Roger that," she replied, then took off at a sprint, knocking aside scurries left and right. They were twice her size at least, with long mechanical legs with claws, and they freaked her the hell out. But that wasn't going to stop her. She'd been freaked out by crazy alien enemies so much in life that, at this point, it was like walking through a haunted house for the 100th time. Yes, another flash of light and someone shouting "Boo!" could get your heart thumping, but it became part of the fun instead of the terror. The scurries came at her, five in a line, attacks narrowly missing her head as she moved with the swiftness of her robes, every attack part of a dance. Blue and black liquid shot out as she removed limbs, and nearby a group exploded with an energy blast from Hadrian. She'd almost forgotten she could do that, and lifted her hand to send a vibration through the air that took out another cluster farther out, just in time to save a fighter ship. The ship zoomed past her, joining three others in a formation to blast the dragon's head with everything they had. Explosions followed, and a billowing cloud of black smoke, but when it cleared, Samantha could see that the dragon was unharmed. Hadrian appeared at Samantha's side, smoke trailing from the barrel of his rifle, his sword pulsating with light.
"The dragon's hide is nearly impenetrable,"
he shouted over the noise of fighting and explosions.
"It's going to take more than that."
But Samantha had noticed something about Karstrak as he had dodged the explosions. He was only fighting with one arm, while the other he kept in close, as if to protect it from something. While he had dodged the strikes, the scurries had paused in their attack. The way she saw it, the two might be connected.
"Just get me close to him," she told Hadrian, and then started running along the dragon's back, using her momentum of flight to push herself forward.
Karstrak smiled and beckoned her forth.
"You've come to change your mind?" he shouted to her.
"Maybe. I'll tell you after you surrender."
He laughed, then turned from her. At that moment, scurries landed on the dragon, clawing at it from the underside. The dragon made a dive, moving for the city below them. Clouds swept by in wisps, the wind like a hurricane. But Hadrian and Samantha kept their hold, steadily moving forward as they fought off the scurries. Napalm and the others were almost at the city when the first fighter ship came crashing down from above, exploding into the ground nearby. Furter lunged to see if everyone was okay, but Karma pulled him back. A moment later, the ship blew to pieces in a follow-on explosion.
"The warheads," she reminded him, then pointed to the city as she added,
"Move!"
Napalm was getting any scurries he could that came close enough, focusing with his energy so that it would explode, more than once taking others with it. He saw the dragon moving in for the city and froze. The horns were glowing bright yellow, and with a shriek from the dragon, three massive blasts went off. It was like watching a falling star, but in slow motion. Napalm had enough time to say, "Holy shit," before three parts of the city disappeared in massive explosions of light. Furter screamed, pushing himself harder, and the others tried to keep up. All but Napalm, who now noticed something on the dragon. There were three people up there. Somehow, they had all managed to stay on even at that angle. As he watched, Samantha landed a blow on Karstrak, and the dragon seemed to lose its focus, the next wave of attacks faltering as the glow from the horns faded. He wasn't sure what to do with this information yet, but he knew it would play a vital part in this operation. Samantha lunged again, this time for Karstrak's hidden side. There was something glowing there, faintly,
he was wearing something or holding something that he's using to control the scurries. Ordering the scurries to dig into the dragon at different points manipulated the dragon into going in the direction he needed it to. From there, it was all about pain for the dragon, as best she could figure. When the scurries surged on it, digging in from multiple directions, the dragon grew frustrated and shot off the beams from its horns. What Samantha had first thought to be the dragon's companions were actually the tools being used to control it. Not that it made the dragon any less of a threat, but at least now she had a good guess as to how it worked. If she was right, taking out Karstrak would solve more than one problem that day. So she lunged again, this time trying to work with Hadrian, who had just appeared and moved in the opposite direction. However, they were largely outnumbered, especially when considering all of the scurries and the dragon. This time, however, Samantha remembered her upgrades. She saw that her sword just needed one more kill to be fully charged. So dodging a strike from Karstrak, she moved for a scurry instead. The scurry tried to lift her up with its appendages, but she used the momentum to get the sword where she needed it and took the monster's life. As she fell, she spun and darted forward with her cloak. But instead of thrusting at Karstrak, she slammed her sword into the dragon, sending a massive electrical shock through it. The attack was enough to make the dragon roar and turn away, circling up and up, away from the city.
"How's everything going up there?"
a voice said, and then she realized it was Dex, talking through her hood.
"Could be better, you," she replied.
"Just keep doing whatever you did, and keep that thing away from us down here, until the city pulls itself together. It's not looking good."
"Copy that."
Hadrian appeared at her side and said,
"Nice thinking. Now get ready."
She wasn't sure how, but he had apparently latched the two of them together with Karstrak, so that they all shot toward each other.
"Block,"
he commanded, and she did as she was told. Karstrak had reacted by raising his sword to thrust at them, but his eyes went wide as he saw them both lift their arms to block. He likely knew what this could mean. As soon as the blade hit, Samantha's shield set off a shock of electricity that sent Karstrak squirming, while Hadrian's had an explosive reaction. The latching kept him tight, though, so that he just crumpled to the ground with a wheeze as the electricity left his body. Samantha didn't hesitate, instead leaping over to grab his arm, then pull free a green horned gauntlet.
"Wait, no!"
Hadrian shouted, but it was too late. She had already slid it on her hand and started focusing, seeing if she could put a stop to all this. Her first thought was to pull back the scurries, and to her surprise and delight, it worked. A jab of pain shot through her arm, but she couldn't stop now. As she focused again, she felt Karstrak at her side, pulling himself up. She turned and kicked him down. Hadrian leaped forward, sword at his enemy's throat, and then paused.
"Do it!"
Karstrak shouted.
"End it, you coward!"
But Hadrian turned to Samantha, faceplate clearing so that she could see the pained expression on his face.
"He's the only other left of my kind,"
Hadrian said.
"I can't."
Samantha sighed, looking at Karstrak, and said,
"And he's my only shot at finding out who my dad was."
"But if he lives..."
Hadrian sighed, shaking his head.
"It'll be more of this. Who knows how many more lives will be lost at his hand."
"Together, then?"
Samantha asked.
"Wait, I can take you to him, I can..."
Before Karstrak could finish the sentence, Hadrian and Samantha both plunged their swords into his chest, piercing his body armor. He struggled, stopped twitching, and was dead. Hadrian knelt beside him, and Samantha noticed the tear before he let his face mask cloud over again.
"End it."
Hadrian said. Samantha nodded, held the gauntlet high, and then willed the surrounding scurries to plow into the dragon. They were tearing apart its armor, some starting to get into the flesh beneath. The beast was writhing and screaming, tearing through the sky and then plummeting to the ground before rushing upward again. Explosions from the horns tore into mountains as the dragon turned back on itself, trying to get a good hit on whatever was doing it damage. In an awe-inspiring display of greatness, the beast had turned almost in a full circle, similar to the image of a snake eating itself.
"I have to handle my dead,"
Hadrian shouted, holding Karstrak's body close.
"Get to safety."
With that, Hadrian went through a jump point, leaving Samantha to hope her ability to fly would kick in. She ran, feeling Hadrian's tethering magic gone now, and leaped. The shadow cloak pushed her out of the dragon's reach, and then she was flailing as she fell, screaming at the top of her lungs. Her mind flashed to days fighting with her mother, all of the times others had called her out for being too young to fight, but not her. The one woman who should have been sheltering her, telling her it was too dangerous, had always believed in her. Hell, she'd even chosen to fight alongside her. Samantha wasn't about to let her mom's sacrifice be for nothing, just as she wasn't going to let that faith in her be misguided. With a deep breath, she ceased her screaming and opened her eyes. The wind stopped. Instead of falling, she was floating toward the ground, and was finally able to take in the chaos. Many of the fighters had been destroyed, their wreckage surrounding the smoldering city. The main palace still stood, but large blocks had been destroyed and were still in flames, and the space dragon was spiraling down toward the city. All she could do was watch in terror, trying to block out the screams of the inhabitants below. Napalm threw another blast at the few scurries that remained below, but his energy was low. He stumbled along the outside of the city, almost there, when a large shadow crossed over him. The space dragon was above him, writhing in pain and screeching. It was going to hit the remains of the city. A figure was floating down from above in the distance, and judging by her dark armor and the fluttering cloths, it was Samantha. She had taken down the dragon and presumably Karstrak, but now there was this new problem of the damage the aftermath would bring. His head spun, looking for answers. Instinct said to run, flee, and try to survive. But his heart said that wasn't right, that there was another way. It hit him. The way Hadrian had shown him to latch onto objects, to use his energy to move things. The space dragon was larger than the nearest mountain by far, and yet he had to try.
Karma!
He shouted, spinning, and a moment later the woman was at his side.
You have a plan? I have a hope,
he replied, then quickly pulled off his armor so that he was only wearing his loose-fitting training clothes.
If you're thinking that I'm going to do something nasty here because we're all going to die anyway...
No, it's worse than that. I mean, it'll hurt more, or, well, I assume.
He frantically looked between her and the falling space dragon.
I think I can move it. At least get it to not destroy what's left of the city. Your touch. I've seen what it can do. It amplifies power, right?
She was already removing her gloves. Prepare yourself. Face the dragon, and when I say go... Do what you must.
You'll do it?
You're not some male, and you're certainly not my enemy. You're my teammate, an extension of the body we all now make up. Now shut up and get to work. We don't have much time. So he spun, focusing everything he had on the space dragon. Just as he was about to unleash his energy and bind the creature, Karma's hands were on him. She ran her hands across his back, then down to his core, and back up, to finally reach around him and hold him as if in an embrace. The action caused him to pause, but then she whispered,
Now. Heat flowed through him, along with a tingling and then a surge of power, unlike anything he had ever felt. He shot his hands out toward the dragon, and, with a shout of excitement at the sensation coursing through him, latched his energy onto the dragon and pulled. His whole body vibrated, and he could feel waves of energy coursing through his limbs, rising up through him and extending from his fingertips. But still, the dragon wasn't moving.
"It's not enough!"
he shouted over the loud screams from the citizens and the screeching from the dragon.
"It has to be,"
Karma replied, her voice wavering. A moment later, Dex was there, quickly removing the healing robe and wrapping it around the two of them. As Napalm had felt its healing effect before, now it sent a wave of cool through him. He felt Karma perk up behind him.
"Again," Dex said, removing its hood. "Try again."
Now, with the power of Karma and the healing of Dex, Napalm gave it his all. He felt the flame spread from within, taking over, filling every bit of his body. And then it was there. He was latched to the massive beast. With a mental pull, he yanked the dragon out of its trajectory. The dragon's tail slammed into one of the towers of the palace as it fell, and then it hit the ground just west of the city. It slid along, tumbling and tearing apart all in its wake, and then went over the side of the cliffs. The ground was still vibrating as the space dragon hit the water below. It sent out a huge splash, followed by a mist that moved across them all. Karma still held Napalm as Dex came forward and unwound his healing robe. They should have dropped from exhaustion, if not for the being's powers. After a moment, Karma released her grip, the effect similar to having a great warmth suddenly pulled back to leave you in the cold. The sensation only lasted a moment, and then Napalm turned to them. He saw Quan on the battlefield, his red company not far off, where they had been shooting up at the scurries.
"We did it,"
Napalm said, but shook his head at the devastation.
"Everyone still alive is so because of you,"
Karma said, pulling her body armor back on as if dressing after an awkward one-night stand. He stepped toward her, taking one of her hands in both of his.
"Together,"
he said,
"and your people will never know you gave that gift to a male."
She smiled, but shook her head.
"Like I said before, you're a teammate. There's no shame in what we accomplished here today, nor the way in which we saved their lives."
With a smile, he released her hand, then turned to Dex and nodded.
"Come, let's find the others. We have a lot of work here to rebuild this place."
Dex returned the nod, pulled up its hood, and joined him and Karma as they walked to meet up with Quan. There was indeed a lot of work to do, and they were also in need of food and sleep. Hadrian knew he needed to hurry back, but he had seen how it would end and knew this must be done. Placing Karstrak's wrapped body into the pool of water beneath the once great temple on his home planet, he lowered his head in a moment of remembrance. Whatever had come over this longtime friend, this man he had always considered like a brother, he couldn't believe it was natural. Something had taken over Karstrak. He was sure of it. The only problem with that was his kind was supposed to be immune from such trickery as time manipulation and mind control. How did they get to him? It didn't matter right now, but Hadrian swore he would get his answer. For now, he had to complete the ritual. Whenever one of his people died, those that remained would gain their power. Karstrak being the last of them, all of the power of their people was now Hadrian's. He kept his eyes closed, feeling the cool tendrils of the pool reach out and encircle his arms, moving up until they wrapped around his torso and into his heart,
This was the transfer of power, and with a large breath he was lifted into the air, spinning, a great light visible even beyond his closed eyelids. And then it was gone, and he was on the stone floor alone, as the body sank into the pool. Now all of his kind were laid to rest, all but him. When that day came, he would be ready. However, with the amount of power flowing through him at the moment, he had his doubts about that day coming soon. First, he had to help Samantha, get her to where she needed to be so that she could play her part in saving Earth, and then the universe. The two were largely connected, though she couldn't possibly understand the degree to which yet. Samantha wouldn't be able to follow the proper path if she knew. So Hadrian walked back into the light image of himself, the last jump point of his planet, and returned to Entano Fos Prime. Chapter 25. Epilogue. Weeks had passed since the partial destruction of the City of the Elders, and while there had been much carnage, only one of the elders had been lost in the invasion. Unfortunately, it was the woman they had all relied on the most, Orlean. As the elders worked on a system to replace her and oversee the rebuilding of their city, Samantha had been tasked with finding what she could about the space dragon that had crashed into their world and now occupied a space at the base of the waterfalls. Water pounded on its scales as she stood at the top of one of the cliffs, wondering how long it would take before the water broke through or wore it down like a smooth statue over time. Would it someday look like just another of the many mountains?
"It wasn't always a tool of evil," Hadrian said, and she turned to see him, back in his normal state. "They were once a thing of beauty, said to be protectors of the three most sacred planetary systems."
"Earth isn't one of those?" He shook his head.
"Earth is of the utmost importance, and its people are special, to say the least. But what I speak of is beyond the comprehension of the people of Earth. You will come to know in time."
"And my dad? Will I come to know that in time too, or will you tell me now?" He looked startled at that, then his expression softened.
"Samantha, I honestly don't know the answer to that. Perhaps it was trickery, or perhaps your father is really out there. I would like to get to the bottom of this as much as you."
"Really? As much?"
"You're right, maybe not as much. But rest assured, I will not give up until we have an answer to this riddle."
She nodded, knowing it was the best she could hope for right now. "Thank you. I'm ready, you know, to get back out there. I had a buttload of skill points to use up, and my skill trees are filling up fast, so what's next?"
"Next?"
He stared off at the stars for a long moment.
"We have two more dragons to deal with, and scurries might not be available after this. It is something we must look into. Who is controlling them? How?"
He turned to her, contemplating.
"Karstrak controlled this one with the scurries and the gauntlet, but that doesn't mean it'll be the case with the others. In fact, based on what I know of him and his powers, I'm quite certain it won't be. And you? Your training is far from over, of course."
"Training?" He smiled.
"On-the-job training, but training nonetheless. I don't want any of you to think you know all you need to know to grow complacent. Hubris will be the downfall of our enemy, never us."
"You are avoiding the question."
"What next?" "Well, I have a feeling about a certain planet, one where a partner with the enemy uses a form of mind control.
There's a faction of the alien overlords who use mind control on aliens in a certain section of the galaxy. Use of the dragons might be connected, but we must act smart here.
If there's a possibility of a connection to my dad, then I say let's get to it.
If he's really out there looking for you, he might find us before we find him.
Hadrian motioned to the dragon.
I'll get down there and see what we can learn about these things. As for going to the planet I mentioned, you're not quite ready. You need to train, to be sure you're at your peak before we go.
He started down, but she stood her ground. When exactly will I be ready?
Ferder and the others are waiting for you. When you're done training, you know where to find me.
She stared at him, feeling her annoyance bubble up as much as she wanted to push it down. This needed to end, and if the only way she could make it so was to train her ass off, then she would do it. But every bone in her body said she needed to be out there kicking ass, so pardon her if she was a tad annoyed at the moment. Spinning to go find Ferder, she saw him approaching with her team at his side, including Voira and Agatha.
You ready to get your butt kicked?
Ferder asked. She scoffed.
Hey, don't try to take your clothes off this time, and I'm all for it.
He blushed, turning a dark blue, and the others laughed.
There's a story there, I'm sure,
Karma said with a playful smile.
Oh, come on,
Ferder said with a laugh. But when the others kept staring, he rolled his eyes and said,
I'll let her explain after training.
Well then, we better get to it. Karma winked. I'm anxious.
As am I, Samantha replied. There are way too many alien butts out there that need kicking. Let's do it.
This is the end of Book 1, but the story continues with Shadow Worlds, Book 2 of the Shadow Core series. Keep listening after the credits for a free preview. You have been listening to Shadow Core, Book 1 of the Shadow Core series, produced by Greg Lawrence, Associate Producer Emily Durr. Text copyright 2017 by Justin Sloan. Production copyright 2017 by Podium Publishing. All rights reserved. Chapter 1. Foreign Planet, Unknown. A blast singed the edge of Samantha's cloak, and she pushed back against the wall, pissed. Even with all the training and fighting she had gone through, the cloak hadn't actually been damaged. Until now. To make it sting that much more, she had been fighting a simple Kolak when she had been hit. Those little bastards seemed to breed like rabbits, inhabiting many of the planets Hadrian sent Samantha to for her skill point grinding. Still, she couldn't help but wonder if the creatures were capable of such accuracy. They weren't the only enemy she had faced lately. Whenever she had the urge to go charging in and blasting something to bits, or cutting through hordes like a hot knife parting butter, she had the ancient magi send her to planets such as this. But now, not only did she have a reason to be pissed, she also had cause to be somewhat worried. Whatever had just shot her had been a skilled shot, so she was pretty sure it couldn't be Kolak. In fact, she was fairly certain she had seen a human staring back at her from under a helmet, their visor partially fogged. Kolak could occasionally be found wearing such gear, but it was rare. A glance down at the cloak confirmed that the material was already healing itself, glowing slightly before being restored to its original condition. The dark fabric flowed around her as though she were submerged in water. The cloak was easily the best gift she'd ever received, and she had her teammate Dex to thank for it. Time to show this human what this gift can do, she thought, turning and springing forward. The robes flowed behind her as the shadows made her one of them. Dark cloths fluttered and spiraled in the air, and then she was descending on the human, slamming him against the rock wall as she raised her left forearm and triggered her shield. The effect was a blast of electricity that held her opponent tightly as it sent its helmet flying, exposing purple skin like that of an eggplant. Not a human at all, then. The creature snapped at her with its sharp, pointed teeth, and Samantha jerked back to avoid being bitten. With another thrust of her shield, she released the Kolak, allowing only a moment before her shield's next electric shock sent the creature slamming even harder against the rock. It collapsed to the ground. Damn! She needed to get her mind straight, stop seeing things that weren't there. This was not the first time she had thought she'd seen a human that had turned out to be a Kolak or some other alien creature. When she had told Napalm about it, his fiery eyes had narrowed. He had shaken his head, muttering something about leftover effects from their run-ins with Karstrak, the corrupt Magi. Some sort of echo in her brain from the stress, perhaps. Or maybe she was thinking too much of her own team, back on Earth. But there seemed to be more than that going on here. At times she was certain she had seen a face looking back at her from the darkness. More than once. Samantha pulled her thoughts back to the moment and focused on the very real issue at hand, the sound of more Kolaks coming at her from behind. She spun to see two of them, wearing body armor similar to that worn by the Syndicate Marines. A well-trained group, she guessed from the way they moved as a team. They covered the corners in a way that made her highly doubt they lacked intelligence, as Furter or the others claimed. Wrong side of the war? Yes. Completely stupid sacks of blood with no purpose other than to serve as cannon fodder for the great deceivers in this war against the Allies and all that was good and holy in the universe? Not sure. One of the Kolaks made a clicking sound and gestured her way, and a second instantly threw himself to the floor, firing two rounds in her direction. This time she took advantage of her upgraded grip skill and ran for the wall, her robes gathering the darkness around her so that the enemy shot wildly in their confused state. She reached the wall and ran across it, soared out and sparks of electricity trailing behind it. Blue lines sizzled through the air as her sword came down upon the lead Kolak, cleaving his helmet in two and filling him with volts so he skittered smoking across the floor. Damn, it felt good having the electricity skill tree maxed out. That's what months of training did, after all. The other Kolak rolled out of the way, coming up on his knees to shoot. He managed to get off a blast, and Samantha had to throw herself backwards to avoid getting hit. Since the sword would need to recharge before it could fire electricity again, she decided it was time to try one of her newly upgraded skills. She chose Static Stomp. Peering at the icons on her HUD, it looked like fun. Hell, fun was her middle name when it came to fighting these little bastards. From what she could tell, all she had to do was lift her leg up high and then stomp down in her opponent's direction. Sam's foot hit the ground, and a blue light flared as a shockwave of energy rippled outward. It threw her opponent back, momentarily stunning him while she stumbled a bit as well, not used to the force of the upgrade. That would come in handy someday, she thought, regaining her feet. But maybe it needed a little more practice. Right now might be a better time for some good old-fashioned hand-to-hand combat. Quickly sheathing her sword, she kicked off the wall and leaped forward. The power from her robes gave her an extra push that sent her fist cracking through the enemy's faceplate. Her brawling skills weren't on par with her weapon techniques, so she liked to get some practice in private, where none of the Shadow Corps team could see if she messed up. Like now, as she lost her balance going for a roundhouse kick to the broken faceplate. Falling on her butt was embarrassing enough without the stupid Kolak sneering at her. He'd get an extra punch or two for that, she decided, as she started to pick herself back up. A kick caught her in the side, and then the Colac's blaster rifle was descending on Samantha to slam into her helmet. She raised both arms and formed a small force field around herself, a blue light that fizzed on impact while still keeping her protected. As soon as she moved her arms, it was gone. But she was now on the offensive.
"Kick me while I'm down, huh?"
she shouted, coming at the Colac with wild haymaker punches. Against Dex or Karma, Samantha's punches would have been laughable. But this Colac had gotten overconfident, and, since its faceplate had fallen off, each metal-gloved punch sent him reeling back. He lay wheezing against the wall, purple blood dripping down his face. He stared up at her and held out a hand, a pleading look in his eyes. It was almost enough to make her doubt herself, to pull back and let him go, until she saw his other hand sneaking up toward her, finger wrapped around the trigger of a small blaster.
"Dick," she said, "I was almost feeling sorry for you."
She kicked the blaster away, pulled out her sword, and ended the little bastard. Since she didn't see any other signs of trouble, she took a moment to pull down her HUD. This little excursion had apparently earned her 30 new skill points. That was just enough to upgrade her shield for a tethering charge, though she didn't know exactly what that was. She decided that, after having lost her balance in her fight with the Colac, maybe she should choose a few more hand-to-hand improvements before trying something new. She assigned several of the points to strength and dexterity, then felt the alien biotech of her suit go into action as the upgrades took effect. The armor grew denser in spots and firmer at support areas around her legs. After a few seconds, her helmet told her the upgrades were complete. Sam was about to assign the other remaining points and see if her sword had any available upgrades when a voice echoed through her hood. It was not quite in her head, but not quite outside of it either. "Dex."
"Hadrian has returned. He wants us all back,"
the voice said. She spun around to see her friend. Like hers, Dex's robes flowed as if submerged in water, though the fabric was thicker and more layered than Sam's. Dex's race also didn't have sexes, so as much as Samantha hated thinking of Dex as it all the time, the alternatives didn't quite fit.
"I'm on my way,"
she sent back, allowing her faceplate to clear so that Dex could see her smile.
"Good training?"
it asked. "Ups and downs," she replied, her head spinning a bit as she did so. No matter how much they spoke like this, mentally, it always felt unnerving to her. He nodded, but did not respond. Together they walked to the faint light that formed ghostly outlines of themselves. Stepping into it, they were instantly sent back to the training caves of Entano Foss Prime. Training on Entano Foss Prime wasn't so different from the training conducted on Hadrian's ship. In addition to the natural obstacle courses, Furter and the other locals had shown Samantha a series of caves lined with training weapons, strength exercises, and sparring areas. Hadrian had taken advantage of this spot to set up his training gateways. What was different was that, while before Samantha had been anxious to train and improve her skills, she was now anxious to get back into space and hunt down her enemies. She understood that their skill point grinding was in actuality part of the fight. The gateways took them to enemy planets, where they could fight real enemies as a means of leveling up skill trees and weapons. They had to be making a dent in the number of Colac out there, at least. But they had been at this for months. The war against the Syndicate was still going on back home, and there were two more ancient guardians-turned-evil space dragons out there that needed to be stopped.
"Where did Hadrian go this time?"
Samantha asked Dex aloud. Dex's robe shuffled in the silence as they walked. A response finally came, like words floating on the wind. Hadrian has much to look after, much to plan for.
As if that was an answer, Samantha thought, looking at the new buildings on the edge of the town. The locals had mostly rebuilt the city after the large space dragon had crashed into it. While no one could truly replace Orlean on the Elder Council, the rest had moved on after a short grieving period. Now they were hard at work, planning and strategizing. This was war, although Samantha could almost believe it wasn't, what with all the waiting she had been made to do. They entered the city to find Furter conversing heatedly with some others of his race. He didn't seem to notice either one of them as they passed by to meet up with the rest of the team. At the square just inside the city, the other members of the Shadow Corps were already gathered, everyone except Quan. Samantha figured he was off with the Red Company, as he often was lately. The square was lined with tall buildings of white and gold, as well as several statues of old leaders. In the middle was a fountain with a statue of Orlean, the late elder. The marble sculpture had been there even before she had died, but now it was surrounded by the pink and purple oversized flowers so plentiful on the planet. Samantha wondered if it was a coincidence that the people on Earth, like these aliens, all chose flowers at memorials. Was it possible aliens had influenced their cultures over the years? Hadrian had certainly visited Earth numerous times. Even before the Syndicate invasion, he had told her so. If he had visited undetected, why not others? Samantha saw Karma, who was standing facing Napalm. Even wrapped in armor like the other Shadow Corps members, Karma managed to exude a sexuality that made even Samantha uncomfortable. Samantha couldn't imagine how the guys dealt with it. Napalm glanced back at her with his fiery eyes, and Samantha nodded, stopping next to the group as Napalm went to converse with the two former guides, Agatha and Vuara. They were now effectively members of the Shadow Corps, though their role was still mostly to serve as guides in areas of the universe less well known to the rest of the team.
"Get your kill quota in for the day?" Karma asked.
She glanced at Napalm, her expression somewhat disapproving. It likely had to do with the fact that she generally despised men. Lately, she had been better around the team, at least, but sometimes took a bit of warming to. She must have just woken up or had her butt handed to her in training.
"Kill quota?" Samantha asked. "I'm pretty sure that's not a thing."
"It's not," Napalm replied. "Feel free to ignore our dear friend here. She's feeling a bit anxious at her lack of privacy."
"There's always some guard or somebody in the palace,"
Karma spat, glaring at him.
"How's a girl going to get some alone time?"
"Go on, tell us."
Karma's face went pale.
"You heard?"
"As if you're shy to begin with,"
Napalm replied with a chuckle. Karma shrugged, but didn't deny it.
"Still, one such as myself shouldn't have to hide, but I understand the norms here. So what if I escaped to the caves below?"
"I heard some of the miners of the dragon material caught you in the dragon."
He bit his lip to stop from laughing.
"I'm not following,"
Samantha said with a frown. The huge space dragon they had defeated weeks ago was a large mining operation now, as the inhabitants of this and many other planets believed the body of a dragon held magical properties. Hadrian had expressed his displeasure with this many times, mentioning Orion's Belt and something about the Three Kings, but he had always seemed so distraught by it all that she didn't ask for an explanation, yet. There would be time for that.
"Maybe it's better you don't."
Napalm glanced at Samantha, as if just then remembering who he was talking to. He had the look of one who had just realized he was saying something inappropriate in front of a teenager. She rolled her eyes and turned to Karma.
"Remember what you saw when you first met me that day on the ship?"
Karma asked.
Yeah, alone time.
Samantha felt her cheeks warm, and she cringed.
Wait, actually in the dragon?
And you were caught?
Ugh, it's not such a big deal as all that.
Karma put her hands on her hips, eyeing the group as if daring them to say anything more on the subject. Wanting nothing more than to change the conversation, Samantha shifted her gaze over to Dex, and then back to the palace. When would Hadrian arrive? Finally, Furter held up a hand, hissed something to the others with him, and came over her way.
Samantha, good.
What's up?
Furter frowned, turned to look at the sky, and shrugged. Samantha laughed. The translation device in his ear worked well, but it still had problems with slang.
I mean, what's with the drama?
She clarified. With a shake of his head, he leaned in and said,
Someone overheard the elders talking, and it's not good. Talking about you all as if you should be disbanded, not given free rein to run around wild, maybe even locked up.
What?
He held out a hand.
Shh, shh. Just let's all keep our guard up, right?
Samantha frowned.
And Hadrian? Was he in on these conversations?
Furter shook his head.
Off on one of his self-appointed missions, as he often is, it doesn't help the situation that he's not being open with where he goes or what he does.
I don't need convincing in that regard, Samantha replied. Like some wise old wizard, he's always off spinning his webs.
Furter sighed, then glanced at Samantha's dirty armor.
Wow, had a go of it today, right?
Just trying to get ready for what's next,
she replied with a confident smile.
I think you are more than ready,
he replied, smiling and staring into her eyes. He did that too often. He had hit on her pretty blatantly during the last mission, and even after she had rejected him, she still caught him looking at her from time to time. It wasn't that he was bad-looking for an Eliolation, but there were two things wrong with the scenario. The first was that he was an alien, and she wondered if fooling around with aliens was on some level similar to bestiality. Was that racist? Speciest? She wasn't sure, but the idea made her uneasy. Second, she was focused on being the baddest warrior she could be, the leader of the Shadow Corps they all expected. She still couldn't believe they had nominated her to that role, but since they had, she didn't intend to let them down.
Sorry,
Furter said, and she realized she was glaring at him. She hadn't meant to, but it pissed her off that he couldn't just think of her as one of the team. Though Karma and her constant sexual vibe didn't do much to help set a better standard. A nudge from Napalm interrupted her thoughts. Hadrian was walking toward them from the direction of the airfield. Samantha assumed he had left the Neraldian there, with the pilot, Jackal. Hadrian walked with his hands casually behind him, eyes to the sky, lost in thought. The pink and purple flowers hanging from the walls complemented his blue armor, and he wore the salt and pepper hair and face of a middle-aged man. Samantha cleared her throat.
Sir?
He laughed.
I've been gone so long that now you feel you have to call me sir?
She blushed.
Well, it's been a while, you know.
The snark came too easily, and she instantly regretted it.
I deserve that,
Hadrian replied with a smile, then raised his hand to the assembled Shadow Corps members.
We must depart at the passing of the 13th moon, though circumstances may dictate we move sooner.
Understood,
Dex replied in Sam's mind, and then suddenly walked past the group, entering the palace.
Not me,
Samantha interjected, glancing around to see if she was the only one.
I don't understand. What is this about the moon?
Hadrian gave her a serious look.
Samantha, we will be taking a very special gate, one I personally placed on that moon, one that must be kept very secret.
And am I allowed to know where we're going?
Hadrian smiled.
Earth, child.
A lump formed in her throat, and her mouth went dry.
What for?
There is intel we must collect, but also something more. Something I will not be able to explain to you until I know for certain.
And my friends? My mom?
Sorrow came over his face as he shook his head.
I have seen a vision of Quinn, and she will return.
You saw her? Is she safe?
He pursed his lips and then nodded.
If by safe you mean alive, then yes. This will not end any other way.
Can you please speak sense? Where is she? What's happening?
Hadrian shifted his attention to the rest of the group, whose expressions varied between surprise and curiosity.
The rest of you, gather your belongings, if you have any. Prepare to leave.
With a slow tilt of his head, he eyed Samantha, then motioned for her to follow.
Come, I will show you.
If you enjoyed this audiobook, let us know. Take a quick moment to rate and review it on Audible, so we know we're bringing you audiobooks you'll love.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.